mind if I re-raise, do you? Oh, wow. Being polite is weird.
I have no doubt of that. I was no match for you in the temple, but when I fled, I knew you would follow me here.
Hey, welcome to Friend Request, a show where we take a look at various game relationships and talk about what they mean to us, whether that's good or bad. I'm Jennifer Uncle for Scanline Media.
And I'm Colin Detmar for Scanline Media. Thanks for joining us.
So, should we start with what you brought or what I brought?
Either way is fine. Why don't you go first this time?
Okay. So, I'm going to be talking about Sam and Max, the freelance police. This is the series that... it's been around for a while. Like, Steve Purcell, the creator, has been creating comics about Sam and Max for a few decades now. And it was also the series that more or less started to put Telltale on the map. They've made, I think, 3 or 4 different seasons of Sam and Max. And there's just something very snappy about both of their duo that really drives all of those games together. Even though you're repeating the same locations almost all the time, the same little block, even from game to game. There's these two... one of them is a dog named Sam. He kind of wears this suit and tie, sort of like a more traditional gumshoe from a film noir. And Max is just this small little cute anthropomorphic rabbit with what's the right word for those kind of teeth? The ones that are like, they're sawtooth teeth, essentially. And they're basically a twist on the good cop, bad cop routine because neither of them are very good cops. Like, that's kind of in the name, freelance police. They smack each other when they're trying to get to the phone. They... oftentimes, shooting your gun will solve many, many different puzzles. Just taking out and shooting it at some object or even nearby a person just to get what you want. But there's like a sliding gradient when it comes to their specific levels of unprofessionalism. Sam will basically be the polite one, more or less. He'll go up, tell a few jokes, sometimes not very well-advised jokes nearby some rather touchy customers like the Mafia or even Santa Claus's elves from time to time. And Max is the one that just likes to cause violence pretty much wherever he goes. Like, if the game were about Max entirely, the city would probably be raised under a gigantic ball of fire within the first few hours. Mm-hmm. But Sam has that kind of chaos in him too. He just doesn't let it out as much. He's more prone to just being, oh, well, how do you do? And sort of causing the ruckus while he's smiling and adjusting his tie.
My experience with Sam and Max is almost purely through the Poker Night at the Inventory game. But the impression I got from that is actually probably an overly specific comparison here that's not going to be super successful. But if Sam and Max feel like two people who are role-playing detectives, and Sam is like... they're both good friends, and Sam is kind of into the role-playing as a detective, and Max just wants to run around and break things, and sometimes he gets Sam caught up in that mindset, too.
That's pretty close to it, yeah. Like, Sam enjoys letting Max off the leash every once in a while to just see what happens, and because he wants to see that happen, too, but He's definitely more motivated to try and do a good of a job as a freelance policeman can do. And they really would go to the ends of the earth to rescue one or the other if things went wrong. That's actually the main plot motivator for the most recent and I think final season that they did. Max gets taken for quite a bit of time, and Sam kind of falls apart more than he usually is, desperately trying to get Max back, more or less. And it doesn't make for a particularly fun experience. Like, the whole crux of that series is just seeing these two buddy cops go at each other and just have a good time causing chaos. And removing one of those equations, removing one part of that from the equation, shows just how much that pair works together. Like, yeah. It's like peanut butter and jelly or any other sandwich metaphor.
And interestingly, that even carries over to Poker Night at the Inventory, because, you know, at Poker Night at the Inventory, there's you know, this group of players at the table, and as, you know, you're playing poker, and as you get eliminated, they walk away from the table. And both Sam and Max are there, and if you eliminate Sam or Max, it just, the dynamic changes in a way, and they're nowhere near as fun as when both of them are there. Because when both of them are there, they're sort of playing off each other in this way that's really enjoyable. And just one of them is fine, but it sort of like, it's like, oh, it's just Max, and he's just gonna, you know, like, tell these kind of long, slow stories and be kind of goofy. Or it's just Sam, and he's just so hyper. And without both of them there, it just doesn't work as well.
Yeah. This might be a bit of a strange comparison to make, or maybe not as, it doesn't work quite as well as I think it does, but to me, they kind of remind me of, even more than classic movies like Lethal Weapon or very genre-specific films, they're kind of like the two buddy comedians where they're always the same movie together, and they play off each other so well that just seeing them in a room together basically lightens the experience and makes everything else 10 times as fun.
No, absolutely. And also, similarly to that, it's like, oh, and this one's the goofy one. And you're like, but they're both comedians. I mean, they're both the goofy one. It's just one of them is really leaning into it.
Surprising how that well that works, because typically people go for the opposite attract because that's just considered good balance. But it turns out if you have one person that's all the way goofy and then someone else that's pretty out there too, but is reined in a little, that works out just as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have not played the adventure games, as I said, but if, I don't know, maybe one of these days, I don't know. I'm not much of an adventure games guy, but I did definitely enjoy their presence in Poker Night at the Inventory. Fun characters.
Yeah, it might be weird if you've played other Telltale games that have come after that, because it's an even less polished version of that formula than some of the games that came after.
Yeah, well, we'll see, I guess.
Yeah.
So, for the class today, I have brought the relationship between the main character of Knights of the Old Republic 1 and Bastila Shan. And so this is a relationship that is more complicated than the player and also the character the player is inhabiting thinks it is at first. At first, you think you are a Republic soldier who is escorting this Jedi, Bastila Shan, to, you know, I forget where they're going, and it doesn't matter. Basically, you're on the ship, you're escorting them to a location, because it's a Jedi, and Jedi are important, right? And she's like a general, and she's got some special power that makes people fight better, so she's super important. And you're just some dude with a gun. Or lady with a gun, as case may be. And things go bad, and she gets captured, and you rescue her, and then she becomes a party member? And at that point in the game, I was like, hey, this doesn't make any sense. I rescued my boss, and now my boss is saying, okay, you know, lead the way. It's like, you're my boss. What are we doing? And other BioWare games have done this and not had a twist on that, right? It's just been like, oh no, you rescued me, so now you're in charge. But this one does it way better because that's totally, the weirdness there is totally intentional. Because, you know, then you become a Jedi yourself and you start to get stronger. And it's like, okay, well now clearly I'm on the rise and me and Bastila are going to go save the world, right? But then you find out, you know, the big twist of Knights of the Old Republic. Spoiler warning, I guess, but this game is ancient and everyone knows it at this point. You are not just some random soldier. You are the former Sith Lord Revan, who was basically within a couple of inches of conquering the whole galaxy when you were beaten and you lost your memory. In fact, it was intentionally wiped, I think. And so Bastila is one of the people that helped take you down. You were near her because there's sort of a force link between you two because of how all that went down. And even though she was your boss, when you started reconnecting to the force and taking charge, she just sort of like subconsciously fell in line because you may not know it, but dude, it's fucking Revan. It's fucking like the biggest, scariest dude in the galaxy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's some interesting stuff that goes on later on. You know, it's a BioWare RPG, so your relationship can go a number of different ways. If you are male character, you can romance her, of course, because it's BioWare. That romance is not particularly interesting. None of them are back then. You know, this is a thing we got better at, and some people still have some work to do. But the more interesting thing is that eventually Bastila gets captured by the new big bad guy who converts her to the dark side. And you can either kill her, beat her and then turn her back to the light, or beat her and be like, hell yeah, we're both evil now, let's go kick some ass, right? And it's... I've always had a problem with the way Star Wars has done, like, turns to the dark side, right? That's one of the things I've never really enjoyed, is how they execute on that. Because it's always just like, oh, you got tortured for a while and now you're evil, right? That's generally how Star Wars does things. It's like, oh no, you torture someone long enough, they just turn into a bad person. And it's really uninteresting. And it does a disservice to the characters, but I don't know, there's some interesting stuff in that relationship, just sort of mostly the middle part, right? The part where it's like, she's following you because of sort of like your commanding presence and the prestige that you don't know that you have, right? And it's just, I really enjoyed the dynamic of this character that you feel like should probably be bossing you around, but is totally following you around, and then sort of the twist on that.
Yeah, when you first described that, my assumption was that she was following you around to more or less keep an eye on you and see how you developed. But it's a lot more interesting to think that maybe because of the link that she shares with you after she more or less wiped your memory and took you down, that link could somehow be turned the other way and start affecting her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like that's, you know, she certainly, like, intends to keep an eye on you. That's part of it, right? But there is also, you know, like, I guess the game isn't super, like, direct about it, but, like, it does outright say, like, no, there's a special link between you two, and, you know, there's a bond here. And I think, you know, bonds go both ways, right? I don't know, maybe this is a little bit of more headcanon than genuine canon, or actually maybe none of this is canon because they erased all of it from the canon because Disney, but
yeah,
I don't know. It's a bummer how much I don't think they stick the landing, because, you know, the ending of that is just like, oh, she turns evil, and you can, like, I mean, the worst one is what I think the canon ending is, which is Revan is male, and Revan, like, comes to her and is like, don't be evil, I love you. And she's like, oh, I love you too, you're right. It's like, that's crap.
Yeah,
that's really lame.
That's bad.
yeah, I don't know, it's... I don't know that I have too much more to say than I have said already, but it's interesting how they turn that sort of expectation of like, oh, okay, this is just, she's a party member because she's a party member. It's like, no, there's actually some meaning to this. And they do some interesting stuff with Bastila in actually both Knights of the Old Republic 2 and a little bit in the Old Republic, where, like, you see her sister sometimes and stuff. But, you know. Or not her sister, I think it's her ancestor. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah, I haven't played much of Knights of the Old Republic or any of them for that matter. I've gotten like a total of 9 hours into the series overall, spread across the first two and then the MMO. But this conversation definitely makes me want to go back and give the first one a shot again, see how long I last this time. Because this sounds like it's worth sticking out to see how it goes.
It's pretty neat. That I feel like the writing in the first one has aged in a way that the writing in the second one has not, but mechanically both of them have aged significantly.
Yeah.
Actually, you were the Old Republic player, right?
Yeah, I played the MMO. I didn't get super far, but
you know the Jedi lady who's in all the cutscenes?
Mm-hmm.
Like the CG stuff? That's their ancestor, that's Satel Shan.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Just a neat little connection there. That's the daughter... Well, I guess it's the granddaughter of those two or something. I don't know how far down the line it is. But anyway. Yep. I think that's probably it for this episode. I'm actually looking into getting some guests for future episodes to talk about character relationships that they found meaningful. And we'll see if we can arrange some mix-ups on the formula. It's nice to do these two every time, but maybe we could do episodes where it's just one and we do a real deep dive, or, you know, we could do three. We'll see. We'll look into messing with the format some.
Yeah, it'd be awesome to get some guests in here as well.
But until then, this has been episode 4 of Friend Request. If you liked this, you can go to scanlandmedia.com, where me and Jen both have some writing and podcasts you can check out. About games, obviously. And if you want to support our work, you can go to patreon.com/scanlinemedia, and any money you contribute there will help us get more games or more equipment to keep covering stuff. It doesn't go into our pockets. I want to give a big thank you to Krista Lee for use of her track Hearts Burning Bright off of the album Welcome to the Fantasy Zone. You can find that on Bandcamp at opoorpup.bandcamp.com. It is our intro music, and I'm quite fond of it. There's also a lot of other good tracks on there. You should check out her work in general. You will not... brain?
You will not regret it?
You will not regret it. Sure. Mm-hmm. You will not regret it. I'm probably going to have to leave that in now, because it was awkward enough. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Have a good one.